I think Roger was having way too much fun, and we're going to curb that a little bit. What do you think? We're going to start getting them going. Instead of coo, 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 we're going to get them go caw, caw, caw or something. I don't know. It sounded a little birdy to me. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad he was having fun. And it's great that we can come and worship the Lord together. We're all a bunch of unique personalities. God created us this way. And this morning, as we listen to the baptismal candidates, God has been at work in each of their lives. Baptism is clearly evidence of the work that the Spirit of God has been doing in the life of these young people. Today is a very special day in their lives. Their parents have been praying for them, walking with them, teaching them the Word, wondering if at some point in time they might not understand the marvelous grace of God. And as they would read the Word, come to understand that walking through the waters of baptism would be significant as an expression of their obedience and expression of their understanding of the significance of the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so today, as they walk through the waters of baptism, there isn't anything mystical taking place in the water. The issue here is that the water is simply an outward sign of an inward change, a determination to walk by faith with their Lord. Of course, this inward work of the Spirit is that of regeneration, bringing a person from death to life. That's significance that we have in baptism. Of course, the resurrection speaks of that new life. So our passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, speaking of one baptism, is not about so much a literal going through the waters type of baptism, but it speaks of the baptism of the Spirit of God that takes every believer and places them into the body of Christ. And I hope that's very clear to us. So that I want you to realize that at the Reformation, those of you who come from a Mennonite background, you were called Anabaptist. Why? Because what had happened was that you were baptized as infants, and then later on you discovered and realized that God wanted you to be baptized again by virtue of having placed your faith in the Lord Jesus. And so I'm an Anabaptist. I was baptized as a child, and when I came to understand the marvelous grace of God, I realized that I needed to be baptized again because I had not understood the gospel as a child, because I was an infant when I was baptized. Now, these baptismal candidates were not baptized as children, as infants, and so they're not Anabaptists as such, but those of us who came out of that tradition understand that. So there are some of you who were baptized, possibly even as a young adult, but who had not placed your trust in the Lord and at some later point in time came to understand the marvelous grace of God, and subsequently you were baptized again, and hence you would be Anabaptist to be baptized again. So Abe, Desideria, and Blake, we're certainly encouraged by the fact that you want to share and walk through the waters of baptism. We met with them as elders. We enjoyed hearing and share their testimonies. We were encouraged by their desire to honor the Lord in obedience as they walk through the waters of baptism. I'm going to call upon Blake at this time to come and share his testimony, and then after that, Abe, and then Desideria. And then after that, we'll have the worship team come up and again lead us in some songs, maybe not with bird calls, maybe, I don't know, but we'll see what happens, what they come up with next. And then while that's happening, we're going to go down and we're going to change, and then we'll come back up here and we'll have the baptism. So I'm going to call upon Blake, and then Abe, and then Desideria.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Blake Hildebrand. I was raised in Rhinefield by my parents, Corey and Mary, along with my older brother, Todd. I've been very fortunate in my life, growing up in a Christian home with parents who read my brother and me Bible stories and prayed with us ever since I can remember. I can't really remember much of anything about my life before becoming a Christian. I became a Christian when I was about 3 years old. I remember being at the dining room table after supper, and my older brother Todd was talking about how he was a Christian. I thought this sounded pretty awesome because I started to ask my parents some questions, and it was right then and there that I accepted Jesus into my life. As I got older and started to go to Sunday school, I heard all the Bible stories and learned more about who Jesus is and all the wonderful things he's done for us. In high school, I was blessed with incredible friends who also loved the Lord, yet I myself often found that I wasn't taking time for God. I always told myself that tomorrow would be different, that I'd read my Bible and pray, but it never seemed to happen. I figured that life was going good, and I was still better than most other people. I knew that a relationship with God was important, but I figured I was good enough as it was. When I moved to Winnipeg last September to attend university, it really opened my eyes to how the world really was, especially after living in the Winkler bubble my entire life. I began to see more than ever the importance of having a close relationship with God. And that's why I'm here before you today, to let everyone know that I want to follow God in my life in everything I do. To understand that there is nothing I can do to be good enough to gain eternal life. Without him, I would be eternally separated from him. It is only by God's love and grace that he extends to us that we may spend eternity with him. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again on the third day, and that he gives me eternal life by simply believing in him. Because I have put my faith in Christ, there is nothing that can separate me from God. As John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." The moment I placed my trust in God, sin no longer had any hold on my life, because at that moment I became dead to sin. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Abe Clausen, and to be honest, I don't recall much about my life before I came to Christ. I was rather young when this took place. I was just an average child that attended public and Sunday school. While in Sunday school, I learned that Jesus had been crucified and rose from the grave in order to pay for all of my sin. They also taught that we as humans are sinful and need to do our best to change our ways. When I was approximately 8 years old, my sister informed me that the Bible said in order for us to get to heaven, we need to invite Jesus into our lives as our Lord and Savior. Shortly after she told me this, I went ahead and did so. I do not recall any major changes taking place after accepting Jesus into my life. In the past, whenever I doubted that I was going to make it into heaven, I would turn to John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Recently, I have come to understand that I do in fact have eternal life, and it can never be taken from me. I no longer need to doubt where I will spend eternity. God commands us as believers to be baptized, not in order to gain our salvation, but rather a step of obedience in our walk with the Lord. That's why we are here today. Thank you.
I'm Desideria Bargan, and I was born in Germany into a loving and Christian home. Being little, my parents would pray with me, read me Bible stories, and teach me how to love and respect others and go to church. Although my parents taught me these things, I still didn't understand what a Christian was. I mean, being five was the perfect opportunity. Church was the perfect opportunity to take naps on my dad's lap. Although I could act pretty innocent, I can still remember that one day when I did something I wasn't supposed to, and then even lied to my parents when they asked me about it. But what I should have realized was that parents know just about everything you do, and that sisters like justice, as long as it doesn't affect them. So my dad sat me down and explained the consequences of lying, and that when I did something wrong, I needed to ask God for forgiveness. But that no matter what, both God and my parents would love me. So I decided to accept Christ into my life. That evening, my parents came into my bedroom, and as a family, we prayed. Being only six, moving to Canada wasn't a big deal for me, or at least not that I can remember. I started school here, learned the language quite fast, and made friends very easily. Although I missed my friends and family from Germany, I considered Canada my home. Besides moving, nothing really changed in my life after accepting Christ. My parents continued teaching me that I would keep on sinning, but that Jesus died on the cross for me to take away the penalty of sin, and that through believing that Jesus gives eternal life, I am forever saved. The big change took place about a year ago. I met a girl at school who not only became my best friend, but also a Christian example for me. She's taught me a lot of things, but still neither of us are perfect. And with her family, friends, and other people in my life, I'm learning to walk. I'm growing and walking with Christ. And a verse that guides me daily is Psalm 34:1. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be on my lips.
Thank you. I'm going to call the worship team up at this time, and we'll go and change. See you in a few moments. Thanks to Henry and George and Jody, they made sure that we had nice warm water this morning. Baptisms are a special time in a believer's life. Desi shared in her testimony, you know, being here wasn't as a drastic change in her life as it might have been for her sisters and her parents. But the drastic change that took place was the moment that she placed her trust in the Lord. And then as she was maturing, she began to realize how significant that was. And the Lord brought a friend along. And I really appreciated your testimony. Desi, not only is this a special time as you have family and friends, you have your backdoor neighbors here. I see them here. That's wonderful. And you've got a lot of friends supporting you here today. They hopefully want to walk with you by faith. And, you know, growing up is not just physically, is it? It's really about the heart. It's about our relationship with the Lord. And all of us who have been watching you certainly see the evidence of your love for God, your desire to honor Him. Desi, I'd like to ask you just a few questions here this morning. Again, we as elders had an opportunity to hear their testimony, and it was just a wonderful time of encouragement to know that Desi loves the Lord. And it was Desi that actually initiated this baptism. She came up to me and says, "I want to be baptized." I said, "Well, that's great. Let's do that." I said, "It's just as long as you're not in a real big hurry, because there's all kinds of things going on." But she was patient, and then she shared her testimony, and she worked real hard on it. So, Desi, do you believe that the Lord Jesus is your Savior?
Yes, I do.
You realize that without a Savior, you'd be eternally separated from God?
Yes.
Jesus not only died for your sins to deliver you from the penalty of sin, He also died to take away the power of sin so that you could live a mature, godly Christian life. And so, based upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hey there, big fella. Come on a little closer here. You're a little bigger fish. Good to see you. You know, Abe, your brother, Frank, has been praying for your family. And actually, you know, in part, it's really Irina's fault that you're here today. You know, she started coming to a ladies' Bible study and liked being here. And eventually, I saw Frank at a men's prayer meeting some years ago. And as time has gone on, God works through all of our relationships, in particular family, when we begin to see a powerful transformation in the life. And so I want you to realize that Frank has been praying for you, praying for your whole family. And we have definitely seen a lovely change in your life, and realize that today, as you were entertaining the idea a few months ago about being baptized, and we chatted about it and so on, you said, hey, I'd like to do that, not as a novel idea. It's not the simply a Christian thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. And so I hope that as you think about this day, that you'll remember it's sort of like a stake that you're going to put in the ground. You're going to say, I remember that day that I determined to follow the Lord Jesus. Because that's what baptism is. It's an expression of our passing from death to life, and then a determination to walk with the Lord Jesus. Abe, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose or died for your sins and rose again?
Yes.
Do you believe that by having trusted in him that you've been granted the gift of life?
Yes.
You realize that's a life that can never be lost?
Yes, I do.
Well, based upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How many more can we fit in here? Well, Blake, it's really a privilege to have known you much of your life. You were just a little fella. How old is Blake, anyway?
Now?
Yeah, well, now.
18.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to go back. You weren't sure either, were you? How many years have you been married? No, I don't want to get you in trouble, Corny. But Blake, I remember when you were just a little fella, and he's much bigger than I am already. But Blake, it's been great watching you grow in the Lord, and an encouragement. And I've seen you develop in a lot of different ways, and it's been really encouraging. Mom and Dad are here, grandparents are here, friends are here. And I know that your testimony before them is really significant and has had an impact upon their lives. And I know that your parents, your grandparents, have also had a prayerful impact upon your life. Blake, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that having placed your faith in him, by simply believing, you've been granted the gift of life?
Yes.
Based upon your confession of faith, your dad is going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is there anything you want to say there, Dad? I think you should.
Well, a lot of people here, right? Yeah. Blake, we've been praying for you right when you were, just after you were born. And you were very proud and pleased that you've grown up to be a godly young man. And loving the Lord and wanting to follow him and just live for him. And we've seen evidences of that in your life over the years. And this is a very great time for us, as well, I'm sure for you as well. So just want to pray for you, and all these people here are going to be praying for you too. Okay.
How many of you were trying to figure out what was on Eric's t-shirt? How many of you figured it out yet? Only a couple of you. Okay, Eric, come on back up here. It's a spelling bee. Now, how were we, if it's Hebrew, it's from right to left. Okay, so that doesn't make any sense, right? If it's Chinese, it's up and down. But if it's English, it's from left to right. So anybody figure out what this is yet? Put your hand up. Okay, so he is enough, isn't he? That's not the message. Tell us about the message.
Not like putting somebody on the spot.
That's never happened.
That's true. It comes from To Write Love on Her Arms, and it's supporting mental health and just those who deal with depression and all kinds of different issues in their lives, from you know, no matter what your background is, no matter what situations you go through, you know, not only is your physical health important, but mental health as well. And that's why it's important to stay rooted in a church and to, yeah, I guess, open up to those around you and not to be scared of that. So, yeah, it's just saying that, you know, you are enough, not to not to feel like you're alone, you're worthless, nothing like that, just to remind you that you're part of God's family. So.
Anybody else got a t-shirt they want to explain this morning? Well, there's two parts to our service this morning. Baptism is a beautiful expression of the believer who, like the Ethiopian eunuch, had the scripture explained to him and then finally understood that really it's all about the Lord Jesus. You are enough. Now, second aspect of our service today is about membership. And so we gave you a handout. Why don't you pull it out? And if you've got your Bibles, back to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. So today is not only a baptismal service, but it's also a membership service. The baptismal candidates are not becoming members of our local church. They're obviously members of the body of Christ. Why are we having membership? Well, membership is another expression of a desire to be part of an intimate family that seeks to partner with the local church, seeking to honor God. It's really about maturing together and then being willing to serve together. And so you'll recognize in Ephesians chapter 4 and starting roughly around verse 11, God gave the church specific people for a specific purpose. The people that God gave were the prophets that we read about in the Old Testament. Of course, the apostles. And by the way, the prophets and the apostles in Ephesians 2:20 were the ones who laid the foundation of the church, sort of providing a foundation by which we can build a superstructure on. We, of course, after all of these years, are the superstructure. We are the bride of Christ, the church, the body, the building. And through each life here, God wants to reach a world that doesn't know the Lord yet. And so you've got family and friends, people who don't yet know the Lord, and you're praying for them. And God says, I want to use your life. So those who are becoming members understand that, and they've been here for a while. We've met with them for over a period of a year where we took them through baptismal classes. A baptismal class is not a four-session kind of deal. It's where we take them through our bylaws, our statement of faith. We explain how we do things, why we do the things that we do. We want them to get a feel for why we're actually having this service here today and why they should partner with us in the ministry. And so qualifications for membership are very straightforward. A candidate needs to be born again. Someone who's born again is someone who understands that the Lord Jesus, just like these baptismal candidates, that without the Lord Jesus, you'd be eternally separated from God. And so they've placed their belief in the truth and the authority of Scripture, that God sent his Son, that anyone who would believe in him has been granted the gift of life. Each candidate shall confess Christ as Savior publicly, and again, publicly is not so much at a service like this, but publicly express it to people, whether it's our families and places of work in our community around the world. Hence the reason for missions and parachurch organizations and local church ministries. Each candidate shall be baptized upon faith in Christ alone. And again, it's a stipulation that we want those who are going to become partners to have already acted out in obedience and having walked through the waters of baptism. Each candidate shall be fervent in prayer and Bible study. Again, we expect members to be actively involved in a small group ministry here where there is prayer and Bible study taking place. Each candidate shall be willing to obey the teachings of Scripture, and hence, as we teach them, we're asking people to take these things to heart so that they would mature and be able to have an effective testimony in a community within their families. And then it says each candidate shall be ready to serve and sacrifice. Those are the qualifications for membership, and we went over those. The duties, of course, to attend church faithfully. Services of the church, of course, we mean our Sunday school, our adult Bible fellowship, a small group, and if you're interested in being actively involved in teaching in any ministry, you need to be part of a Bible class. To participate in the Lord's table, to break bread, to commune with the Lord, and to do so with his saints. To contribute consistently and proportionately to the church and its functions. Again, you'll notice that we don't take up offerings here, but we have a box, and we, as we take people through small groups or out at Bible fellowship or through the Bible classes, we simply express, you know, the things that happen here don't sort of just happen. Money doesn't just sort of materialize. It comes through the sacrificial giving of mature saints who are committed to partnering together. And then to assume personal obligation to the organized work, evangelistic outreach of the local church. The organization part is our Christian education. All the different ministries that are taking place here, people who want to become members understand that they actually need to be engaged in that kind of function. To pray for and support the leaders of the congregation and all those who carry responsibilities. And so this morning as we were gathered in our adult Bible fellowship, we had a prayer time and we remembered the ministries and those who lead in those ministries today, mindful that there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into actively working with your children and young people and teaching adults. And then to abstain from gossip, slander, unjust criticism, hatred, jealousy, and all evil speaking, but rather live in love, peace, and harmony with one another. Those are the kinds of things, the first part of it is the kind of stuff that tears a body down, tears a family down, tears a community apart, tears our country apart. And the church is not to be involved in that. So we seek to do all things for the building up of the body. And then rather live in love, peace, and harmony. To abstain from that which harms the body, which God has given each person, for it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. To be mindful that the body is a gift that God has given us. It's already in process of decay. And so we shouldn't hamper it further. We should be careful to use these bodies for God's glory. And so we don't want any of our members to be actively involved in any form of substance abuse, any drug abuse of any kind. And then, of course, to have no membership in secret societies, whether that be the Masons or the Mennonite Ku Klux Klan. I don't know if there's any such thing, but just be careful that you're not agreeing to be part of something that really has no authority here on earth. That God has established his authority, first of all, by his word and then through his church to be ambassadors for him. So those are the qualifications for membership. This morning we're pleased to hear from our membership candidates. We have 14 membership candidates. We're not going to hear from all of them this morning, but they've been in fellowship with us for several years. They've watched this body. They were brought through our membership class. They understand the qualification and requirements of members. And they've chosen to partner with us in the ministry here at Faith EBC and at our campus, Emmaus Bible Church. And we'll talk a little more about that in a moment. They understand that we're going to be calling on them to serve in these local churches. They understand that their work is to be done for the Lord in the interest of building up the body. And of course, as we're reading in Ephesians chapter 4, and we come down to verse 13, listen to what it says. Different ones that God gave for the church, whether it be apostles and prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So maturity is not about just saying, well, now I'm a grown-up because I'm 18. No, it's about making the choices that reflect a vibrant relationship with the Lord. Of course, it doesn't mean any one of us is perfect, and so hence we need to be gracious and merciful to people when they err, seek to restore them. And that's our desire here. And so the following have met with the elders, shared their testimonies with us. We're convinced that they love the Lord and love his people, desire to walk together with us as a family. and seek to serve one another. Membership candidates include Alex and Natalia Buxman, Elena Dirksen, Les Bickle, Don and Lisa Mishnick, Abe and Crystal Bickert, Pete and Anna Wall, Mike and Margaret Ginter, and Stan and Judy Blonsky. We're going to ask the following to come up and share their testimonies. I'm going to ask Les, and this will be the order, so Les, if you'd come up, and then after Les, Abe, if you would come up, and then Pete, and then Mike and Margaret, and then Stan and Judy. And then after that, we'll read the church covenant and have all of you members come forward, and we'll also have the elders come forward, and then we'll have a time of prayer with them. Today, as you're aware, there's food in the air. Can you smell it? You can't hear it, but I can smell it. And, you know, I was tempted to go into the kitchen just to see what was for dessert, because we can't stay today, and I was thinking if I could only take a piece of pie, maybe. Just a sliver, nobody would notice, right? But I couldn't, so I dare not. Les, would you please come and share with us, and then we'll hear from the rest. We'll talk a little more about Emmaus Bible Church after that.
Hi. Good morning. All right, perfect. All right. Oh, that's better. All right. My name is Les Bickle. I was born and raised in Barrie, Ontario, to a loving Christian home. But as we know, that's never enough. As a child, I remember sitting for weeks on end in my bed at night, and I was wondering if I were to die, if I was going to go to heaven. And those thoughts always troubled me in church services, and even if the pastor wasn't necessarily speaking about the fate of those who didn't believe in him, it ultimately caused me to wonder and be afraid of my own state. And one day when Pastor Pennell was preaching, I couldn't take it anymore. After the service, I went forward, and I talked to some of the leaders of the church, and they took me through John and Romans. And that day, I put my faith and trust in Christ. After putting my faith in Christ, I remember having extreme joy and peace, and at night I no longer sat up wondering if I was to go to heaven or not. I had the peace of knowing that heaven was my home. Not that I had done anything to earn it, but that was a free gift from God to anybody that believes that God sent Jesus, his son, to pay for our sin debts on this cross. It was such a change of a life of fear to joy. And then I remember even wanting to share my faith with others because I had so much, because the joy was so great, and what I had was so great. Since coming to Christ, I've had a lot of ups and downs in life. God gave me the privilege to go to Bible college and seminary, and God used this to strengthen my faith in him. It started to get me to ask questions of what I believe and why I believe it. And it encouraged me in the hard times to keep pressing on. Many times we wonder why God allows things in our life, but it's ultimately something that should make us grow to God, closer to God. I think of Galatians 2:20. It says, "My old self was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Thank you.
Morning. All the shaking you're going to see and my voice doing funny things, it's all rehearsed. I'm fine. If I fall in there, just please come get me out. For those of you that don't know me, consider yourselves lucky. No. I'm Abe Bickert, married to Crystal, and we have three beautiful daughters, Sophia, Grace, and Ella. I was born into and raised by a mom and dad who loved me, and they loved the Lord. They brought us to church almost every Sunday. They did their best telling us about how great God is, and that he died for all of our sins. The Sunday school teachers and preachers preachers I listened to growing up did not fully understand or explain God's free gift of salvation. And because I would sin from time to time, I grew up never really being sure that I was saved. I asked Jesus into my heart on a regular basis, always expecting to feel an amazing relief or overwhelming joy, but nothing ever happened. Maybe he was in there the whole time. Henry and Tracy, it's your fault. He put me in this spot here. We've been friends with them for a long time. A few years ago, they invited us to join their small group. Here we heard some strange but beautiful concepts that we had never heard before. And the praying out loud in front of my wife, in front of strangers. What a scary thing that was for me. I'm still getting used to it and almost starting to like it. Now that we're going to small group and Bible classes, I've started to read my Bible again, only this time I'm actually understanding some of it. Crystal and I really love this church family, Bible classes and small group. When I look around at all the men and women here, I am amazed and encouraged by their willingness to serve with a happy heart. We want to become members here at FEBC so we too can serve and learn how to be disciples. I am still a sinner, and most likely always will be. Because of my sins, I know I deserve hell. But through grace, through the grace and love of God, I know I am saved because I believe he died for all of my sins. I'll steal a line here from Bob Wilkins' book, Secure and Sure. The Bible is clear. Believers can and should be, The Bible is our source of truth and thus defines assurance for us. And what it says is clear. Believers can and should be certain they have eternal life. And my favorite Bible verse, I think somebody already said it. I'll just read it again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Thanks.
Come on up, Pete. I'm just adjusting this for you. You know, I was in the Philippines, and Abe had sent me his testimony, and I said, Abe, would you mind sharing that? He says, only under one condition. I said, well, name it. You won't believe this, Pete. He said, if you can grow, let your beard grow for a year.
Good morning, everyone. Same qualifications for me as Abe. The shaking and the nervousness was part of all rehearsed and part of what I'm doing here this morning. For you, those of you who don't know me, my name is Pete. I'm married to Anna. We have beautiful children together. Just had another, we're blessed with a baby boy. So we now have three boys and a girl. So I can say that my daughter is my favorite daughter, right? From an early childhood, it seemed that I got myself into bad situations. I remember the first years of attending a small one-room school in Mexico and just never being good enough. Every day seemed to have a new challenge, getting daily spankings, it seemed. Teacher, realizing that spanking wasn't working, he experimented with different ways of disciplining me, having to stand on my desk, being tied up to a pole, for different behavior in class. There were no parent-teacher meetings in the school, but there was for me. I was special. To this day, I have a friend who attended the same school who reminds me how much trouble I was. At the age of 10, my family moved to southern Manitoba. My family attended church every Sunday. After attending Sunday school for a few months, I understood that Jesus died for my sins, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Although I believe this, that Jesus had died for my sins, my biblical doctrine was that I still had to work for my eternal life. After completing Plum Coulee Elementary School and moving on to GBC, the people that I called my friends changed. One afternoon, after skipping class, or while skipping class. Apparently, the spanking and the standing on the desk and being tied up wasn't enough. My new friend showed me the way to the youth center, where he said we could play free pool, ping pong, and etc., and they had bulletproof glass. For you, those of you who don't remember, the youth center used to be the back of a fabric land. It was this, so it was a pretty cool place. It was almost like it was a hidden secret place. This is where I met the director, Perry Neufeld. He took a lot of time for me and my friends as he saw that we needed a lot of time. He picked us up weekly basis from high school over lunch hour, took us camping in the summer and other youth outings such as Youthquake, and even took us to Promise Keepers once. I think, Frank, you were there as well. It was a pretty awesome experience for me. Most importantly, he helped me understand biblical truth. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What a huge weight off my shoulders. I might be good enough for this. Thanks to Perry for teaching me biblical doctrine truth, this had a great influence through my high school years. I remember being called Bible thumpers for simply standing up for what was right and not taking part of negative substances. A couple years after high school, I met Anna, cruising Maine, of course. It was important to me that I dated someone that shared the same biblical views as I did. We started attending church together and both decided to be baptized. A year later, or so, we got married. I got married to the love of my life, Anna. Together, we have learned a great deal about biblical doctrine. Attending Faith Evangelical Bible Church has helped us a great deal understanding more biblical truth, not only us, but our children. We love seeing them come running up from Sunday school, understanding the stories, and sharing them with us. It's been a huge blessing. Through the years, I've gotten to know Henry very well. Thanks to Henry and a lot of Saturday mornings explaining things to me, I've understood a lot of things that were spoken about in church. Mike and Renee, Henry and Tracy, and the church family has been a huge blessing in our lives. Thank you.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with cruising Maine because that's where I met this woman. That's just the way it was done back then. But I grew up in a typical home in Winkler. And since my earliest memories, my mom would always take me and my sisters to church every Sunday morning. So I grew up knowing a lot of the Bible stories, although I didn't fully understand the gospel. I never doubted the fact that Jesus died for me. John 3:16 was quoted often, and I just believed it for what it was. And in my teenage years, I wasn't walking closely with Christ. My interest in church and things of the Bible were kind of on the low side, you could say. And I lost my spot. Oh yeah, so naturally, my understanding of God and all that he did for me was very limited. And I recall one Friday night, I was walking through the mall and there was a youth group handing out Bible tracts, and one of the youth leaders came up to me and asked me if I knew where I was going if I died. And because I wasn't walking with Christ in the way that I should, I said yes, and it wouldn't be good. And I walked away. He never asked me why I felt this way. He never came after me. He just stood there. And I remember feeling very discouraged and just down and out as I walked away. See, my view was that as long as I did all the right stuff and kind of be a good person, then I'd be good to go. And I was 16 years old, and my dad started living for the Lord and was baptized. So as I was a teenager, you know, I saw the change in his life. I saw his relationship with my mother grew and stronger and closer, and a lot of his attitude changed a lot. And although we never had too many like heart-to-heart talks about scripture, things of the Bible, which may sound a little weird, I just saw his life before and after Christ, and little did I know that Christ is working inside of me through my dad's life. So, started attending church again, with this time with both of my parents, and I think my mom was on cloud nine. And God started opening up my eyes and my heart, and my understanding became a little more clear as I started reading the Bible and actually paying attention in church to what was being preached. And shortly after this, my wife, and at that time my babe, was part of all this, which we journeyed together, which I'm very thankful for. And since then, my wife, and I have walked together and grown together in Christ. And now, looking back at myself when I was 16, that youth leader should have chased me down and quoted, well, all my verses here have already been quoted, but Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." This was a major lack of my understanding growing up, which I have come to realize and I'm so grateful for. And another one I'll close with is John 5:24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. He's passed from death to life." And that's my story.
Okay, I grew up in a loving Christian home, a home where I saw my mom and my dad on their knees at bedtime. I saw my mom reading God's word and watched as my dad listened to the CFAM Christian talk shows. To me, this was just a normal part, or just a normal way of life. I can't ever remember a time when I didn't know Jesus and what he had done for me, and I am so thankful for a mom and dad that loved the Lord. I grew up having times where God felt close by my side, and other times, because of my choices, I felt distant from him. In my late teen years, I made some really bad choices that had the potential to take me down a long, hard road. But God, in his grace and mercy, forgave me and led me back on track with him and back to this wonderful man beside me. With many failures along the way, Mike and I have done the best we can with what we have, what we knew, to raise our girls in a godly way. We love the Lord, and over the years, Mike has been searching for truth, for more truth, and me, being his sidekick, went along for the ride, and what a ride it has been, and still is. One Friday night, a few years back, Mike was asked a simple question, a biblical question, by a good friend. This question lingered on his mind for days to come. His search for biblical answers continued and led us here to FEBC. I have never understood the grace message as clearly as I have since we have attended this church. Throughout my ups and downs in life, I am so thankful for this blessed assurance. One of my most trying times I have ever gone through was the day my mom went home to be with Jesus, October 6, 2012. That was the day when it felt like the ground had fallen out from beneath my feet. It was a Saturday afternoon, and Mom and I were talking and reminiscing about days gone by and the goodness of our God, like we had done so many times before. In the middle of our conversation, her heart stopped, and peacefully she was ushered into the presence of our Savior. In a split second, my world changed forever. It was such a peaceful transition for her, and at the same time, my heart was breaking into a million pieces. Through through the next year, through the next year or so, I walk through deep valleys questioning the goodness of my Jesus, but I know he forgives me. I knew he was with me, even on days when I felt so very alone. But I did not grieve as those without hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I know where she is, but I do miss her terribly. 3.5 years later, I can see how far I've come with God's grace, which never ends, and a loving husband who has loved so unconditionally. I still have many struggles with fear and insecurities, but I know I have blessed assurance. Jesus is my Savior, my helper, my ever-present help in times of trouble. And I am so thankful. Psalm 91:1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. And Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And I looked up the word, what rampart meant, and its defensive wall of a castle. Thank you.
Stan and Judy, if you want to come up. While they're doing that, Rick Penner, where are you? Rick, it's your fault that Mike and Margaret are here, because you prayed for your brother, and then your brother got a hold of Mike, and you know, that's the way relationships work, is that it's as we have contact with people and we have influence with people, that all of us are here. It's because we love one another, and in this case, Rick was praying for you, Jody, and you and Denise, and God orchestrated it in such a way that you and I had a divine appointment, and next thing you know, you're chatting with Mike, and Mike's calling me on the phone out of his truck. So anyway, we're glad that you're here. Stan and Judy, tell us a little bit about your story.
I guess I'm first. It's strange standing up here and seeing everybody down here, many of our friends, and of course our family. I'm Judy Jablonski, and I will tell you a little bit of my story. I grew up in a Christian home where my parents and grandparents served and loved the Lord, their God, and showed me what it meant to be a child of God. At camp, when I was around 10 or so, I realized that I needed to have my own relationship with Jesus Christ. So it was there that I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and because of the sacrifice he made for me, I have eternal life. And I was baptized at the age of 12. This verse has been shared before, but I'll share it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Having Jesus in my life didn't take away the struggles and temptations, but gave me the hope that one day I would be with my Savior. Life was good, but not without struggles. Prayer was an important part of my daily life, and I saw God lead in many ways. Through the years, I grew in my relationship with God and my walk with Him. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. These verses have meant a lot to me. Over 10 years ago, Stan got very sick and our life changed drastically. He was no longer able to work, and this was so difficult for him. I tried to stay strong for him and the kids, and God gave me the strength to carry on. But it got more and more difficult. Even in the rough times, God was just in reach, but he was never made it go away. We had many struggles, but I can tell you that through those years, I leaned more and more on God for strength and wisdom. I thank God for his word that gave me strength and friends and family that prayed for us. God always knew what we needed and sent people in our lives and in our path to help with the journey. 4 years ago, we made a huge decision after much prayer to leave our friends and church family of over 30 years and move here to Winkler. I will never forget how my grandson, Max,
who was only 6 at the time, made me realize how small my faith was. We'd been driving around Winkler, and I was wondering where we would live and who our friends would be and where we would go to church, because it was very lonely at first. And in his childlike faith, he said, "Nana, why are you worried? God will look after you." I was humbled again. Thank you for all your prayers and friendship these past 2 years. Without you, our life would have been empty and lonely. You have all accepted us from day one and made our move to Winkler much easier. I look forward to being part of this church family and grow spiritually as we dig into God's word together, and excited to see what God has for us in the future as we tell others of God's grace. God bless you all.
They'll be crying. And if you hear some noise, it's my niece. I kind of have the same story, more or less, like last. When I was a child, growing up, mom and dad were going to church. I was attending Sunday school, and everything was fine. But the Lord had a special way to move hearts. And with me, he always make me think really hard when somebody passed away in a neighborhood and there was a funeral. Because my big concern and scare was, if I die, where would I spend my eternity? With mom and dad, or I'll be separated from them forevermore. And so one night, I was really already to the point that I was scared, and I was crying for help, and I kneeled down by my bed, and I did ask Christ to take the fear away, to come into my heart, and to be my Savior. And that fear disappeared from me from that moment. And from those days, I tried to grow and learn more about His plan of salvation, His love, and that He is the mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the 3-in-1. I believe all 3 of them are active today, and the Holy Spirit is right here in the midst of us. So I want to thank you for the church up here for 4 years I'm attending, for your prayers, for your concern for me. I know I'm in God's hand, and I know He's have a place for me in heaven. But in the meantime, I'm trying to be faithful and serving Him the best I can. And with my wife beside me, she helped me to cope in my life, learn to be Canadian and accept to this climate and to this world. Only one thing, she cheated on me, and she told me she'll learn Spanish and I'll learn the English. She'll teach me English and I'll teach her Spanish. Well, after a little while, she said, "Forget it. You need English." But otherwise, I'm really thankful. Luke and Max and mom and dad, they came here and support us, and all of you. Thank you. God bless you, and we'll try to work together and serve the Lord.
Something that has been alluded to, of course, in all of the testimonies is the realization that's recorded in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is it written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. I'll call upon the rest of the membership candidates if you would come forward at this time. And so as I read your names here again, Alex and Natalia Buxman, Elena Dirksen, Les Bickle, Don and Lisa Mishnick, Abe and Crystal Bickert, Pete and Anna Wall, Mike and Margaret Ginter, Stan and Judy Jablonski. While they're coming up, I'd ask the elders and their wives to come and stand behind them at this time. Now, something that, of course, our congregation is aware of, those of you who are visiting here today may not be aware of, but something that we have been planning for some years is the planting of another church. And so next week, May the 8th, will be the first service at Emmaus Bible Church. And so those of you who are going to be part of Emmaus Bible Church, why don't you stand up and let the rest of the congregation know who you are. Let's give them a hand, okay? Now, it's a pretty courageous act on their part because, again, basically half of our congregation is going to be going to another location. But with this in mind is that we serve the same Lord. We hold to the same statement of faith, the same bylaws. We're still working as part of the Fellowship of Evangelical Bible Churches. And so Emmaus Bible Church will be another campus where we're simply multiplying our efforts and where they're going to be seeking to reach children and young people, but where we're also going to be still working together in the various ministries that we already have. Each of these member candidates have had to agree to a church covenant, and the church covenant reads as such. Having been led by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, and on the profession of my faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and accepting the Holy Scriptures as the rule of faith and practice, and recognizing the privilege and duty of uniting myself for Christian fellowship, the enjoyment of Christian ordinances, the public worship of God, and the evangelization of the lost, I do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant and agree to associate myself as a member of Faith Evangelical Bible Church. I engage and promise, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to forsake the paths of sin, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for unity and the spiritual welfare of this church, to sustain its doctrines, ordinances, worship, and discipline, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to its charities, institutions, its local expenses, and to the advancement of the gospel of Christ to all nations. I also engage and agree to maintain a prayer life, to seek the salvation of the lost, to walk thoughtfully in the world and to be just in my dealings, faithful in my engagements, godly in my conduct, to avoid all gossip and evil speaking, to abstain from all appearance of evil. I further engage and promise to watch over another in brotherly love, to pray for another, to aid in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. And I shall endeavor at all times and in all places to carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. So the rest of us who are already existing members of this church, I'm asking you to stand at this time. And I'm asking you to make sure, first of all, that you welcome these new members. Secondly, that you'll be sure to pray for them and help them to integrate into the existing ministries of our local church. And that together we'll seek to build the body of Christ. We'll seek to reach the lost, raise one another's children, hopefully help each one be able to mature in their faith. I'm going to call Henry up. You guys can be seated. I'm going to call Henry up to lead us in a word of prayer and a prayer of commitment for these new members. Sorry I didn't prep you on that, Henry, but you're a pastor. You can do anything.
Okay, then. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks that we could spend the morning just hearing these testimonials and how these people have grown in their understanding of who you are and their love for you. The baptismal candidates, Lord, the membership, we just thank you so much that we're able to see, you know, when we share with other people what we've come to understand about who you are and about what's written in your word, that it just affects the lives of people. And Lord, we do understand that that is something that we want for each one. And we just ask that you'd continue to give strength to each one here this morning who's shared a testimonial, who's wanted to become a member, Lord. And we recognize this is to be a membership of FEBC, but this is what life is, Lord, and we thank you for bringing each one and for their willingness to want a partner and to just do the work that's necessary to do. And so, God, we ask that you'd give each one strength, continue to guide them, put the right people in their lives, and continue to give them a desire to feed off of your word every day as they raise their children, as they have influence at work, and Lord, as they help serve here in this church, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be small group, whatever it may be, Lord, continue to give them that strength. Thank you so much for each one, and we just pray that you would be with them throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to extend the right hand of fellowship to these new members, and would you please be sure to do that as well. Again, next week, the new campus, the Emmaus Bible Church, will have its first service. We'll be having a commissioning service on probably not going to be the 15th, since that's Mother's Day, but it'll probably be the 22nd in an evening service at the campus. Okay, greet each other with a holy handshake. They're doing that up here. You greet each other with a holy handshake, and you're dismissed. Stay for lunch. Enjoy the fellowship together. Lord bless you.